Hello and welcome to a brand new podcast, Q Radio and Ulster Rugby's The Breakdown. I'm Simon Hunter and I'll be your host, each time joined by two of the Kingspan Stadium stars to give their insight on the season so far, their thoughts on the latest and hottest topics from the rugby world, and also plenty of banter. Well, alongside me today are two guys with a total of 309 Ulster caps between them, and all round good fellas, Darren Cave and Callum Black. Guys, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, very good, thanks.
We didn't know this was called The Breakdown, actually.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, we weren't informed of that.
Oh, well, how do you feel? You seem pretty disappointed to hear. fans of the name?
I think it's a good name. I think it's good. Very appropriate that Callum's here.
Yeah.
Because he's the breakdown inspector.
He used to be the breakdown, exactly.
He's the breakdown inspector.
I get there last and just check everything's working right and move on to the next.
Well, it's great to have you along, and Callum, and yourself, Kavy, as well. Starting off, very recent tragic news we start off with, following the news of the passing of South African rugby legend Joost van der Westhuizen, aged 45. Guys, I just want to ask, firstly, it obviously speaks volumes of the enormous respect that he had around the world, to see the tributes that have been pouring in for him since that news.
Yeah, I think all the tributes you've seen so far is just how much of a legend of the game he was, and you see, especially from, say, all the nines and scrum house player nowadays, they'll just say that is the person they looked up to as a rugby player and who they probably moulded their game on. So obviously coming from me, but I know that a lot of the scrum house, that's all they talk about, is he's such a legend in the game, and it's very sad the way it's happened and such an awful disease, but yeah.
And Kevy, a lot of people have been saying just how he almost transformed that position. Quite a physical scrum half, 38 tries in number 9, and what a great tournament he had in 95 when he won the World Cup.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's quite scary probably for all us is just how young he was, because you know, there's times people have passed away, you know, ex-Ulster players, ex-legendary rugby players, but it's scary when, you know, your Joosts and your Jonas and the ones that you remember so vividly. You know, I'm 29 now, not as young as I used to be, but I remember so clearly that guy being one of the most physical scrum halves there was. And there is a mould of scrum half now, and he was the first one. And yeah, it is very sad, and to see, you know, motor neurons, he's such a horrible disease, and to see, you know, the pictures of him and see how frail he'd become. But in fairness to him, how bravely he fought it, and yeah, it's very, very sad for the game, and the tributes have been incredible. I'm sure his family's very proud.
And Callum, it just shows everyone just how close that rugby community is around the world, people coming together and saying just how great a legacy he had during his career.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like Darren said, he's left a mark on the game, and such a huge figure and such a great player, and all he achieved, and just so sad that he lost his life at such an early age.
Well, we are sitting here in middle of the week after an interesting opening round of Six Nations rugby. Not a great one for Ireland.
No, it was always going to be a tough game, and Six Nations has to be one of the most momentum sort of based tournaments in the world. You know, there Ireland, where there was chat of a Grand Slam decider against England on Paddy's weekend about 5 days ago, and now you're looking at Ireland going, flip, this is going to be tight. You know, Italy this weekend, but they've still to go to Cardiff, and then the French and the English. Good sides, capable of winning. So Ireland have gone from a possible Grand Slam year to what could be a very, 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 very tough sort of 6 weeks or a couple of months for them.
Yeah, well, I'm sure St. Paddy's will still be pretty lively down in Dublin, won't it?
I'd say, well, Callum will probably be down, and we should get him on the podcast the week after.
The morning after, perhaps, yeah.
Morning after.
Well,
No comment.
Playing it safe, you see? Yeah. You see, the breakdown inspector.
that's my nickname now.
It's just going to stick from now on, isn't it? Obviously, you guys play week in, week out with the bonus points system in some of the tournaments, obviously, namely the Pro 12. And so on. Do you think it's a good thing for the internationals and the Six Nations, bonus points?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it make things a bit more livelier. Obviously people pushing for that extra points and make the game a bit more open. People probably play not as safe as they used to, and it make for a more exciting game, I'm sure. Some of the coaches might not agree with it.
But yeah, it was interesting just to see how it was going to be in the first weekend, and the only game I watched in good sort of depth was Ireland, and I actually was interested to see that Scotland at the end, you know, they got a penalty with sort of 90 seconds left, and I thought they might, or 60 seconds left, sorry, and they took the 3 points, and I wondered, would they book that in the corner and then had a rattle? Just getting that maul try wasn't a high risk play. I understand why they went for goal, but it just shows you that the teams are thinking win, and they're not, you know, I think in a Pro 12 game, if that was Ulster, I would be surprised if Ulster hadn't said, let's just nudge a 5 metre line out and try and maul them over. So I think it's still sort of going to take time to adapt.
Well, turning to domestic and provincial rugby now, has it been a good couple of weeks? A bit of a break, obviously, since the last game, Bordeaux, back in January. Have you been up to much, you guys? Is that a leading question, perhaps?
Callum's got a story about his new coat he's just about to tell you.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I saw you walking in with it and I thought it was amazing.
Well,
it
it does look well.
Well,
we all got a week off to recharge the batteries and get a bit of alone time and a few trips away with the family. But then, we actually had Darren's stag do at the end of the week in Budapest, where... turned up and didn't realise it was going to be minus 10.
It was more of a shopping trip, really. It was more like, you know, Calum came home. Some new memories, a new coat.
A new coat, which was delightful. And
shopping.
It cost me £15, so I was pretty happy.
So you know where to do your shopping.
Hungry, good place to be shopping.
Add in the flights there and get out and get a good coat, I think, is the message.
That was my main reason for visiting. So.
Yeah, great shopping trip it was.
It's quite refreshing then in the last couple of weeks. How's training been this week, looking ahead to Edinburgh on Friday night?
The timing of the break was funny, because half of you thought after a couple of disappointing results it was so good just to get away from it. We're probably now at the stage now where that Bordeaux game was, I don't know, nearly 3 weeks ago, and we're just itching to get out there. So as Callum said, we had a shopping trip to Hungary, which was great, and we're back in training all last week. And you know, obviously you're missing your national players, but it's a good opportunity for some of the coaches to get their hands on, you know, a few of the squad players and get some work put down. And I think for us it is just about getting back the basics, and I think you'll see that this week, and hopefully you'll see you know, some better rugby as well.
And interestingly, on Friday night will be the first game for a guy who I was surprised not to see in the Super Bowl at the weekend, Marcel Coetzee. Of all people, you know, he's the man mountain, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
he's not the breakdown inspector.
No,
he's the opposite of that. he's a big physical specimen, and I'm sure itching to get him out on Friday night and do some damage, and I'm sure he will. He's looking sharp in training, and to be fair, like, obviously he's arrived with an injury, and just around the squad, even when he hasn't been training at the early days when he arrived, he's the most positive guy out there. I actually said he's probably the most positive injured guy I've ever seen, and he's been great on the squad, and that was even before he's even contributed on the field. And I'm sure Friday he'll give it buckets. So.
Yeah, we don't want to put too much pressure on him.
Pretty guys.
I did the press conference earlier and it was all biz, and Simon Lloyd-Lavery over there on the Ulster Twitter has never done tweet, buy your ticket, Marcel Coetzee is playing. We're over here going, I would Callum Black and Derek Haver playing. So they've already got their tickets, I don't worry about it. But listen, the guy, he's a great guy. He has worked so hard since he's arrived, and you know, I think I'm really looking forward to playing alongside him. I think the fans are going to absolutely love him. I sat beside him during one of the Champions Cup games, and he couldn't believe the atmosphere at the stadium. And I know he is absolutely buzzing about playing, and if nothing else, I know he's gonna get his sleeves rolled up on Friday, and I think the fans are gonna love him. I think it's just great.
Yeah, well, did you watch the Super Bowl, UT?
I didn't. I'm tucked up in bed by that time.
He's still got the coat on in bed.
I sleep in my coat now.
He's got Callum's got two young ones, so the only chance he could have got getting a look at it would have been to get up during the midnight feed. But he normally makes a wife do that. So I stayed up to half time and went to bed because the Falcons had it in the bag. And obviously, when I woke up at 6:45, whatever it was, on Monday morning, I saw the score and I was like, what?
But
I was happy enough. Like, my fiance loves Giselle, is that what she's called?
Tom Brady's wife.
And like, Tom Brady's pretty cool guy, and fair play to him. It's nothing like watching sort of people greatest of all time do their thing. So
Absolutely. Did you see, there was an article recently I read about his diet. Have you seen this? No? Whole grains and vegetables, and there are even certain fruits he avoids because of... I'm just looking...
similar to mine then, myself.
Kevin's holding up a cup of coffee here that Callum brought in. Is there something special in this cup, is there?
Well, that's another topic.
Flat white.
Maybe we'll keep that out of it.
It's called flat white. Yeah, I did read that.
Yeah,
well, he's 39 and he's producing that, so it must be doing something for him. It was very bizarre, though. when you see something like that and you see people who are like the greatest ever and fantastic athletes and people you respect massively and you look up to massively, you always look at these diets and think, could I be doing more? And then you read it and you're like, nah. I could be eating more, probably, but only just. I don't think Callum could be.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, it's
a right hard time.
they say he wouldn't blow away in a light breeze.
That's why he has a coat on. good to get back to a home crowd Friday night. Exciting for getting back into things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, like we said before, we haven't had a game for a while, and last week we had a pretty hard week training, double days rugby, so we put a lot of work on the field, and boys are just obviously itching to get out and put it into practice. So.
Mm. Darren, do you think it makes it slightly, not easier, but slightly more straightforward in terms of the focus that you guys will have, given the exit from Europe, obviously the disappointment of several weeks ago against Bordeaux and before that as well?
Yeah, from my experience being at Ulster a while, is I think the year we got to the Heineken Cup final, we actually finished fifth in the league. The one thing about our league is that it is really, really tough to compete on both fronts. Now, I'd love to be sitting looking at thinking about our home quarterfinal in April, but we're not.
Yeah.
So for us, it's good that there's Pro 12 teams in there. We've just got to say fair play to them for getting there. They deserve to be in there. But is that going to take 1% of their focus off the Pro 12? And hopefully, and then we can take advantage of it.
Yeah, well, Callum, Glasgow being one of those teams that's been performing so well this season, they're coming up after Edinburgh. Home game for you guys, but it'll be a tough ask.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you see over the years how much Glasgow have come on, and obviously during this period they have got a huge contingent in the Scottish setup. So I think obviously if we start in this week against Edinburgh, we get a good start to this block of games, and then hopefully lead into that Glasgow week, and we can really just start on a run of games where we know the situation we're in. We need to start performing and picking up points and get ourselves up that leaderboard. So.
Mm. For those, I just want to sort of go slightly off topic now, Darren, but for those who don't really know of what you guys get up to on training days or get up to in your downtime, what's a typical sort of weekday for you in between matches?
Yeah, so normally we play Fridays and then you get the whole weekend off, and then you're flat out Monday, Tuesday doing podcasts and like that.
Media commitments.
Yeah, media commitments. Since I've been rugby, there's far more meetings than there used to be. There's so much watching vision and note taking, and so you're flat out Monday, Tuesday, like on the pitch maybe twice in a Monday, once units, so the forwards will do lineups and scrums, and we'll maybe look at some starter plays we're going to use, or look at some defensive setups, maybe some kicking, and then on Tuesday just one pitch and one gym, and then it really tapers. So the majority of Tuesday afternoon here, the majority of the work's done for Friday, so tomorrow is just sort of rest and recovery. Alan will be in yoga. That'll be good crack, actually, if we get Silo and Lavery down there with the camera for that.
Reporting live from the yoga mat.
Live on my YouTube.
Yeah. From the yoga.
Yeah, I got a lot of views on that.
Light run on Thursday, and then like just be trans sizzling on Friday night. So yeah, very busy Monday, Tuesday, and then it tapers massively. But there's still a lot of like I'll maybe watch training tomorrow and take a few notes and bits and bobs. Like I just start tying up running.
Yeah. So a lot of the week obviously is building up to the main event, which is speaking to Stephen Clements on Q Radio Breakfast on a Thursday morning.
Absolutely.
I haven't been in a while, thankfully, but I do actually. We don't train as early on a Thursday. We're normally in, say, I don't know, 10-ish.
Yeah.
And you do, like, there's times I'm sitting eating my breakfast and it'll come up.
Yeah.
You know, and in with us coming soon is Callum Black. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, flipping.
Yeah.
Whoop dee doo.
This will be entertaining.
They're away skiing this week, Stephen and Kate.
I know, what are they doing? I saw them on Twitter.
Well, they're obviously enjoying themselves as well. And the show's live from there, so they didn't invite you guys, obviously, no.
You didn't get the invite?
No, I didn't get the invite. yeah, exactly. Yeah, well.
So they're still recording the show?
They are, yeah. Oh, still doing the show from over there in Bulgaria, so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you guys keen skiers?
Nothing.
I've actually never had the chance. I mean, with rugby and. You said that you're not really supposed to go, but
I would love to see Callum Black ski.
Oh, really?
I'm built for skiing, so
this guy.
I really did.
I think I just wait at the bottom. You ski down, I mean, yeah.
Callum is fond of, how you say in Francais, the après ski.
The après ski. I didn't want an opportunity to bring the coat back, but I'll not say a word about
we're
that.
Very focused on the coat. It's probably not, it's not that interesting.
It's a great coat. Can we get a shot of it?
To the viewers, like.
Can we get a shot of it? So, well, hold on, what are they doing over there? Oh, well, don't say skiing.
It was a sort of a prize. It was a competition to go over with Stephen and Kate. I think there were about a dozen of them over there in Bulgaria. I think they were over like for about a week or something. So
hey, you're flat out in Q Radio with these prizes and competitions.
Flat out all the time.
They're the hardest things to win I've ever seen in my life. I reckon it's easier to win a Super Bowl than to win. What's the one where you have to answer 10 questions in about 30 seconds?
Yeah. Well, it's just
it's been going for about a year and no one's done it.
Yeah.
Just Say Yes does my head in.
Just Say Yes, which I think was when I first arrived. I think Just Say Yes had been going for 9 months or something and no one had got it, and then someone got it and all of a sudden people are like, "What? We can't believe someone actually got it."
Yeah,
and it's this single hardest thing.
And it always sounds like this. Yes.
Yeah. It's like,
is it Borat?
Yeah. It's almost like part of the yes, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Like that. It is so difficult, you know. It's one thing to talk about difficult games of rugby, but then it's another thing to flip and get those right.
10 questions in 60 seconds?
Yeah. Right. With Kate, the one with Kate. Aye. Kate sort of reads out the questions. So yeah.
One right answer every 6 seconds.
Yeah, I know. Fair play if they can do that.
Yeah, fair play, exactly.
You know.
So a bit of fun.
I'm looking at these, as you guys are sort of drinking your coffee, I'm looking at these coffee cups, and you guys were telling me earlier before we launched into the podcast about this business venture in the future. What's this idea? A coffee shop, too?
Yeah, so I've kind of roped Darren into this, but obviously it's quite a new thing, only the last few years since I've been over here. Obviously got into coffee a bit more and probably just really took off, and I kind of doing it at home, being a home barista, and my kind of home coffee equipment got to a level where I had no more room in the kitchen, and the wife was pretty annoyed with me, and I always thought that it'd be quite cool to have obviously something outside of rugby to focus on and start a new business venture and opening a coffee shop hopefully in the next couple of months. And it's just taken off at the moment, just starting to kit out the place, and Darren's involved in.
Well, Andy works a welder, and we sort of said, look, we're hoping to be open maybe early April, and he came and had a look at the place, took a few measurements the other day, and he was like, nah, no chance, nah. And we were going, this is the first time we've done it, so we're still learning, and we're like, oh, cheers for the support there, mate. It's quite exciting. So if I say too much about it, Callum will get angry, so I'm saying, but
yeah, well, I was going to ask what you can sort of say and what you can't say, and Callum's trying to keep everything quite
I'll give him a punch.
Callum has a great Instagram account called @BaldyBarista.
Yeah.
Don't know why he calls it Baldy. We all know he's got an absolute rug on his head.
As he just sort of brushed through with his hand
so check out @BaldyBarista on Instagram. You'll see Callum making coffees and all sorts, and we'll get him to put up a picture of his coat as well, so we can get a look at this.
Absolutely.
Get a look at this thing. But it's so do you know what, it's just something different out of rugby. I think it's good for you to not be rugby and get away from it, and you know,
take your mind off
easy.
It
we know it's competitive, but good life skills, because sometimes playing for Ulster, you know, you're in a wee bit of a bubble. And so hopefully we'll learn a bit, and hopefully it'll do okay. And
as you say, you know, you get sort of it's good to get things to take your mind off the rugby and have a bit of downtime, as you say, Callum, with the family as well.
No, definitely. I mean, obviously I've got my family to look after, and obviously we know, obviously like Darren said, being in that bubble, and we know rugby's not going to last forever, and it's good to have another focus to take you away from the rugby at times. And I just think that I'm very passionate about my coffee, and I think a lot of people can see that the coffee scene in Belfast is on the up with all the speciality coffee shops. It's not all chains, and I think the way we're looking at it is I want to bring something a bit different to Belfast and try and catch on to that, the whole coffee wave, and I think it'll be exciting, and I hope people enjoy what we're going to reveal soon.
Yeah, guys, thanks very much for chatting. It's been great.
Yeah,
it's been,
thanks for having us.
It's been nearly half an hour of banter and chat. Can you believe it? On the breakdown.
The breakdown.
Is that going to stick, do you think? That's the sort of name, you think? What do you think?
I'm not sure.
Baldy Barista.
I think you need to work on that.
@BaldyBarista.
Yeah. @BaldyBarista.
The breakdown chat. Brought to you Baldy Chat.
Baldy Chat.
the breakdown brought to you by Baldy Barista Instagram.
No, yes,
coffee shop no coming soon.
Coffee shop.
Is that too long?
Look us up. Cut that.
No advertising. just yeah, of course.
I don't know. I reckon Baldy something, and they make Callum sort of every week.
Yeah,
even
special guests with me every week.
The Balded Pod.
I don't know if I commit to this every week. I'm trying to open a coffee shop.
Trying to open a coffee shop. I don't know if
I've mentioned that. Yeah.
You got to get better at self-promoting, I think. Yeah.
Flat out, lad.
But no, thanks, boys. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks.